number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we gear you up for the national championship game coming up Monday night in Houston at NRG Stadium. Well, we talked about it in the last hour. I like Villanova and I like North Carolina, so naturally I think I'm going to get a very good game, but at least I hope. I thought I would get a good game Saturday between Oklahoma and Villanova, and instead I got a 44-point blowout because Villanova was that good from the floor and went on a 25-0 run. So when you think you have it all figured out on paper, there still has to be some level of execution. And if that execution is not there for Villanova, let's say, then they're probably going to get routed. And if North Carolina just sits back and watch Villanova hit shot after shot after shot, it could be a long night for the Tar Heels. But that being said, and you throw those all out, if you're looking at this from what we saw on Saturday, I think this is a colossal matchup. I think this is great. I think this is going to turn into a really nail-biting kind of game. I like North Carolina to win this one. I'm kind of leaning towards Villanova as just a little bit of a favorite. But overall, I just enjoy what I saw from the Wildcats on Saturday. I said this at the start of last hour. In the Villanova-Oklahoma game, I loved watching the dominance of the Wildcats. I truly did. I didn't necessarily like watching a great player like Buddy Hield just score 9 points. But I really enjoyed watching Villanova do what it did in shooting 71%. When are you going to watch a basketball team do that on a high level? This was the national semifinal game. This wasn't Villanova taking on Northwestern State. This was Villanova against Oklahoma, highly ranked team against highly ranked team. And they shot 71 and won by 44. And there was a wild statistic that I saw on Twitter, and I really wish I could have put some more research into this, but they said that of all of the 16-1 matchups in the history of the NCAA tournament, only six have been by more than 44 points. Meaning this had the earmark of being one of the bigger blowouts in NCAA tournament history. That's how good Villanova was against Oklahoma. It's hard, though, to follow that up. It really is. Villanova's not shooting 71% again. But they don't necessarily have to. Likewise, and it's funny because that game I watched from start to finish and I was just captivated by the dominance, but then the North Carolina-Syracuse game, as North Carolina started to pull away, that became a little boring to me. That became a little, all right, good job, North Carolina. All right, good job, Syracuse, hanging in there, making a nice run in this tournament. But with Villanova, I had that sense of awe. But with North Carolina, I should have a sense of awe because they're a very, very complete basketball team. 800-777-2907, your thoughts on that? Opening day in Major League Baseball. I don't know if you saw this tonight. You said you fell asleep during the Royals-Mets game, Adam?
Yeah.
Marlins, though, was behind home plate.
Of course he was.
Loving it all the way in Kauffman Stadium. I hope you caught him before you dozed off to catch a couple of Z's before this show.
Yeah, I knew he was there. I saw someone actually mention it on Twitter, and then, yeah, I saw him.
He's really he's become one of the biggest sports non-athlete personalities in sports. He's everywhere all the time. Does he have, lookalikes? Because they're everywhere. No, he's just weird to spot because, there he is behind home plate. And it's funny because we saw him, 2 years ago in the World Series when he was making the news?
Yes.
It was against the Giants, the Giants-Royals series.
Yes, the Giants-Royals series.
And because there was news about him, they asked him to take the Marlins gear off, and he wouldn't take the Marlins gear off, and it became a story. They offered him all sorts of gear, and they offered him a suite, but they wanted him out of the camera behind home plate. And he said, no, I paid for these seats. This is what I'm wearing. And he's smart because he's wearing something that's easily stands out. And he's become a very, very famous individual because of it. And now I go on Twitter and I just see a bunch of retweets from Marlins Man, who I follow, on everybody that sends him the, hey, Marlins Man and I took a picture. Thanks, Marlins Man, for the picture. He's now famous. He's that famous? That's great. But he was at opening day today. Boy, I'll tell you right now, just some news and notes around opening day, the couple of games that we saw. Francisco Liriano looked fantastic.
Yes, he did.
He was mowing down some Cardinals today. I think he had, 12 strikeouts? Yeah. Something like 10 strikeouts?
10.
10. 10 strikeouts. I think he struck out 14 total.
Chris Archer had 12 today.
Chris Archer had 12 for the Tampa Bay Rays, but they lost.
Yes, they lost.
5-2. Troy Tulowitzki had a two-run homer for the Rays. The Mets put on a little bit of a push towards the end, but in the end lost 4-3. And the Royals were up 4-0. Eric Hosmer had three hits.
The first game, Cardinals Pirates, it felt like 29 degrees at first pitch.
I watched it.
Love those northern starts.
Yeah, I watched it and it looked freezing outside. Yes. Freezing.
They had Doug Glanville in the outfield at one point, and he was in like a huge jacket, a hat, gloves, and you could see his breath while talking into the mic.
I hate that. That's my biggest problem. And again, I hate to be old guy, on the radio. Just guy wish it was like when I was younger, because nostalgia is. We always think it's the good old days, but there's really no such thing as the good old days. We just remember the good stuff. But that's one of my biggest complaints about the World Series. I feel like every time I watch the World Series, if it has a Boston team or a New York team or even a Kansas City team or a Pittsburgh team or whatever, if I'm watching these cold weather cities, it's like it's freezing cold during the World Series or the playoffs. It's October, it's late October, and it's really cold. In Boston, 2013? I remember it was, frostbite cold. And I don't like that. I don't like baseball. It feels like it's a totally different game.
It is. I mean, the ball doesn't fly nearly as far. Adam Wainwright basically said he couldn't warm up to get his velocity up. I mean, he was throwing it basically 85 all game.
Yeah. And again, I don't need the World Series to save your tweets. I don't need it to be in August.
Right.
I'm just saying, when it's November 1st and it's game 3 and I'm like, ugh. When is it going to snow in Cleveland? The World Series in Cleveland. But nevertheless, you know where I'm going. But yeah, it was freezing in Pittsburgh. They got a cold front. I wonder how many games today are going to get canceled because of snow or impending snow or some bad weather. So there's opening day around baseball today. A lot of baseball is opening day. Let's see. The Red Sox are on the road to Cleveland. I don't think that's going to be affected. The Nationals heard it's going to be cold in D.C., but they're in Atlanta. The Orioles are going to be home against Minnesota. Pay attention to that, although that's an afternoon game, so it's probably not going to be as cold. A's, Angels, Arizona, Tampa Bay's in a dome, San Diego. All right. No, we should be all right. We should be all right for the opening day. Yankees in Houston, that's at the stadium. That game's in the afternoon, so it's supposed to be cold in New York.
But it's like, why even open up in New York? Why not open up in Houston?
Why not open up all these games on the where it's warmer?
I mean, it doesn't
just to be
make
on the safe
sense.
Side.
It doesn't make sense to open up in New York when there's a chance of snow, when you're playing Houston, when it was like 83 here today.
Yeah, just be on the safe side. Open up the season where it's warm, and you're going to give these teams their home games. You're not going to short them out. You're going to give them all the games that they're owed. Just start everybody in either a dome or a warm weather climate just to be on the safe side.
Even if they have to travel a little bit more, even if you can't set up like a long road trip or something and they go home for three, who cares? Let's just make sure the first games of the season get played without having to worry about snow.
When I was in Colorado, I used to freelance for a company covering the Rockies games. There used to be three of us, and we used to split the entire season three ways. And the Pittsburgh Pirates were coming to town. And this is when the Pirates were terrible, and this is when the Rockies were as equally, if not worse, than the Pirates. Both were dregs of the National League. Anyway, one of their games got snowed out. And so the next day, because spring in Colorado, it can snow and then it can be, it all can melt. They played a doubleheader. While it wasn't snow, it was wintry, freezing conditions. And I had to stay and cover a doubleheader in an open press box. And I thought to myself, the players, all they did was say, we should have never played this game. I don't know why baseball put it on, but it was the worst. It wasn't even called baseball. It was so bad. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Yes, we give you the sports news of the day on this program, and then we also get in behind the headlines and get into the weird and the wacky. And it's a segment that we call Adam's News of the Night here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Adam's got about two or three stories a night that he likes to share with us, and go ahead, Adam.
All right, the first one comes from former Buckeyes quarterback Troy Smith.
Oh, Troy Smith, I remember him. Didn't he win a Heisman Trophy?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Played for the Ravens for a number of years, I believe, as a backup.
Yes, that's right, he did.
So he was arrested, does not say what night, I'm guessing Saturday night. He was arrested for DUI in Ohio. Now, that's not the story. The story is what kind of happened during it.
So okay.
The police officer walks up to the car and goes, hey, how you doing? Troy Smith answers, I'm officer.
Oh, no.
Yes. So he goes, you're an officer? He goes, no, I'm officer.
Oh, no.
So the cop kind of is like asks again. He goes, you're an officer? You're a police officer? He goes, no, I'm good.
Oh, no. So then, okay, so this is obviously throwing up a flag.
Yes, this is obviously the cop's like, this guy is drunk. Another question the cop asks him is, what's your highest level of education? And he says, I attended Ohio State University. And he goes, okay, what did you graduate with? What kind of degree? He goes, I graduated with a degree in bachelor's. Which actually, honestly, could be true from Ohio State.
Right. Nice. Yes, from Ohio State. Sure.
So, and then he also asked him to do the alphabet from C to W. Well, he tried to go A, B, C, and he couldn't understand that he had to start with C.
Start with C and go to W, and that was, he could not figure that
Correct.
Out.
Correct, yes, he could not figure that out. So when he did finally figure it out after, I would say, a good 45 seconds of thinking about it, he made it to I, and then could not remember after I
and kind of
just quit.
Oh, no.
And then went to, they got him out, and they started doing the, you know, the eye test and that stuff, and he failed miserably and ended up getting arrested.
Okay, so what's I mean, obviously being intoxicated or whatever he was on is bad, but what's worse, rather going the I'm officer or do you know who I am card?
Could
he have gotten away with the do you know who I am card?
I don't think so, because he said who he was. I'm Troy Smith. I went to Ohio State University, played quarterback. He did do that.
Okay,
but
so he was like,
I think, you know, I think it's more, it's worse for him to just say to an officer, I'm officer.
Not, yeah, I'm
I
officer
am an
is
officer.
Pretty bad.
I mean, if you say I am an officer or an officer, then you got problems. But just to say I'm officer and completely confuse the cop is not a good sign.
Do they still do the alphabet backwards as a field sobriety test?
Some do.
That's hard.
No,
that's
I
hard
can't
to do it when you're sober and thinking about it. That's hard.
I can't do it. When he said the C to W, took me a second, and then I did it because I automatically did it. But
yeah,
and
right?
I didn't have any problem with that, so I don't know if I was intoxicated if I'd have a problem with that.
But if you do it backwards, if you do Z Y X, I'd
that's
be like,
as far
wait a minute,
as I get, I'm
guess
like,
is it? Then I'd be like trying to remember. Yeah,
Z W. I'm not sure.
Oh, Troy Smith. Ouch. Any news on, like, did he get booked or anything like that?
He was arrested and booked, and it does not say anything else after that.
Okay, Troy Smith. Poor Troy Smith.
So maybe we'll get an update on that tomorrow.
Yeah, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, and he was like, going to win a national championship until he ran into Florida.
Another quick DUI story was Abby Wambach.
I read this, yes.
She got a DUI in Portland, Oregon.
She's on her way from a friend's house, she said.
And then, I don't know if you saw, there was a few men's players that took some shots at her for some of the stuff, some of the comments she's made in the last year, kind of about the men and what they've done.
What she did was, there's a player on the men's team whose name I do not know. Apparently, Abby does not like foreign players who come to the United States, I guess, establish residency and get on the U.S. teams.
Yeah.
She has a problem with that. And this guy that's apparently on the team used Twitter to sort of jab at her for this DUI as a, you're xenophobic because you don't like us foreigners coming to this country to be on the United States. Seems somehow made a connection to that.
Yes.
Making a dig on Abby Wambach. God, my daughter had her picture taken with Abby Wambach not like 6 months ago. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, it is very disappointing. It's too bad.
I
know it happens. It's happened to a lot of people. But it's just going to take some time to kind of get back from it, I guess.
I think my whole thing about it is, I never make light of DUI because I know there's people who have died from it and people have lost loved ones from
it. Right, yes.
So I never blow it off completely. I think in 2016, there has been so many of those kind of stories that even if you're not sure if you're intoxicated, you should just play it safe. Call Uber, call a friend, we've all gone through this drill, right? We're just like, there's just been too many of these over the last 30 years in the news to not know, be careful.
Yes, definitely.
So Abby Wambach has no excuse here when she said, she owned up to it and she's apologized and she's owned up to it. But nevertheless, it's just dumb. If you had a friend having a few drinks, just don't drive home. There's plenty of ways to get home. You're Abby Wambach, for crying out loud.
Correct. So. All right, then this next story, we talked about WrestleMania already.
Yeah.
Now, there was a bit of a problem at the beginning when fans were basically, it's not they weren't let in, it was taking a very long time. So when the show actually started, the stadium was more than half empty.
Oh, no kidding.
Because security lines were taking so long.
And this was
to get through.
This was at Jerry's Place, right?
Yes, Jerry's Place.
It was in Dallas.
So basically at 9:22... the WWE and Jerry World provided a statement saying, to ensure the safety of WWE fans, increased security measures were put in place tonight. We apologize for it. It's taking fans longer to get to their seats.
I don't know how you do this if you're a stadium. I don't know how you speed that up. People come and you got to do your stuff. And if it just gets busy, it just gets busy. I don't know how you can speed that up without compromising the security details.
Correct.
Like, you can't force people to get there 4 hours earlier to say, hey, listen, there's going to be a million of you here. In order to get through the gates efficiently, we advise you to get here about 5 hours before the show starts.
I saw some pictures from some seats, like, way in the back. I don't even know what the point of buying those seats are.
I don't either. I've been seeing pictures of it all night tonight thinking,
the ring looked tiny.
We talk about this with football stadium, with basketball courts at football stadiums. Yeah. Where like you can buy a seat at these games where you can't see a thing.
Yeah,
thing.
Joe George went to the games on Saturday. He posted a picture and he was in the 100 level, but he was all the way to the left on the far side of the court. And his picture, it didn't really look like you could see anything. Now maybe it's different in person, but I'm sure he watched a majority of that on the big screen they had there.
And a wrestling ring is much smaller.
Much, much smaller.
And if you want to be there for the ambiance, that's great. But make no mistake, most of people buying WrestleMania tickets are buying it to watch it on Jerry's jumbo screen.
Correct.
Because they certainly are not watching it live on the ring unless they got binoculars.
Personally, just give it to me on TV. That's kind of how I am with everything now.
You're going to buy a... Oh, my God. I know. I got a nice big screen TV with HD. I don't want to leave. I don't want to pay for parking. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to watch it with just in my house. Get my own food and beverages. But this thing set the record for attendance.
Yes.
They had over 90,000, if I'm not mistaken, at the Superdome, at the Pontiac and Super Bowl, WrestleMania 3. And this topped that.
Yeah, I want to say, I saw the number and I can't remember off the top of my head. I'll find it.
Vince McMahon. That's crazy.
Money machine.
I got a story about Vince McMahon. I'll tell it coming up next. I actually attended a press conference that Vince McMahon was at, and it was kind of an experience. I'll share that next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. So we were just talking about WrestleMania in Dallas and the show I got Travis sending me pictures from WrestleMania. Wow, Tony D Radio, only two doors open. All they had to do was open a few more. Okay, because I was asking a question. I don't know what more you can do at a stadium if you have security measures, right? You have to go through. If you get 15,000 people at the same time and you got to go through these security measures, you can just, it's too bad, but that's just the way it's got to be. But Travis is sending us pictures saying that there were no, you could have opened more doors. There are a ton of people in these pictures waiting to get in.
I am just shocked how many people there are.
Oh, I mean, God.
Obviously, there's probably over 100,000 people, but just the amount of people in these pictures.
Oh, my God. Attendance and a shot from up high. Travis, again, sending this on Twitter. Yeah, look at the picture Travis is sending. Again, he's up there. You can barely see the ring. And he's watching it on the Jumbotron, on the AT&T Stadium Jumbotron. It's like, if you're going to have WrestleMania, this is the only stadium you should have it.
Right.
Because it's got the biggest Jumbotron in the world. That's great. Thanks, Travis. Thanks for those pictures. But yeah, he's absolutely right. If they're not opening, I was under the impression all the entrances were open.
Well, I don't know.
And
if
it was
noticed.
Just a matter of, look, we just can't get people processed fast enough.
In the picture, actually, he sent us, it says the attendance, the world record attendance of 101,763 people.
That is great. That is great. Vince McMahon, how awesome is he? How awesome is he? I was, I've only attended one press conference that Vince McMahon was at. One. And that was, I was in Las Vegas. I was young, late 90s. And I had moved out to Las Vegas and just after I got married in 1998. So my wife and I were just young newlyweds and we were just kids living in Vegas. We had no children, having a good time. And I was a sports director at a station and I got invited to a press conference for Vince McMahon was going to be at where he was launching the XFL. Remember the XFL?
Yeah.
Remember that? Well, there was going to be a team in Vegas, Vegas Outlaws, I think it was called. And anyway, I was going to be at the, I was going to the press conference for the Vegas Outlaws. Vince McMahon was going to be there. And I have to tell you, I have been in press conferences with just about every major sports personality that had been actively playing over the last 20 years. Okay. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Barry Bonds. I mean, I've covered them all. If they've come through Denver or Vegas or Denver, I've covered them. I've been to press conferences with them in it. Nobody, and I mean nobody, commanded the room like Vince McMahon. I've never seen anything like Vince McMahon. He owned the room the second he walked in. This was for the XFL. Now remember too, while wrestling is, you know, scripted entertainment and he controls every aspect of it, meaning he knows how everything is going to go. So he's a lot more confident in selling this product because it's his product and he's got it finely tuned. The XFL was his foray into something that was not scripted. That was something that he couldn't guarantee was going to be entertaining. He couldn't guarantee that the play on the field was going to be spectacular. He couldn't guarantee that it was going to be Saturday night, you're going to be glued to your television because you're going to be watching some great football. He couldn't guarantee any of that stuff. Whereas, and you and I were just talking about this during the break, he puts on such a good show that when you buy a pay-per-view of you know, and I'm sure some of you out there who know this more than me will say, oh, yeah, I bought plenty of pay-per-views where the entertainment wasn't there. But I get the feeling, like, for the most part, he puts on a really good show. Again, I haven't bought one in a very, very long time. But I'm thinking, if there's 100,000 people that are attending this, he's doing something right on the entertainment factor, that he hasn't been letting you down over the years. And again, I don't want to nitpick. I'm sure he has, and I don't need examples and all that stuff. I'm just using it as a generality. The XFL was an entirely different animal. The XFL was entirely different because he was getting these football players, and most of them weren't good, and he was putting them in with coaches who were not top-of-the-line coaches, and he was trying to create a new league. And Vince McMahon, when he stood up to talk about the formation of this league, and he ripped the NFL. Let me tell you something. He ripped the NFL back in 1999, 2000. He ripped the NFL in a way that I don't think you could do it today and have credibility. 16 years later, when we're all about CTE and concussions and guys dying young and guys being, you know, committing suicide because of the damage that had been done to them over the years, you could not legitimately create a league because the NFL was lacking in the physicality that's being scrutinized today. And that's exactly what Vince McMahon did back then, 16 years ago. He ripped the NFL for just basically wussing out and not giving us real football. Remember the XFL? His idea to start the game? His idea to start the game was to not have a kickoff, but to have two guys put a ball in the middle of the field and have two guys run at top speed at each other to try to get the ball. That's how he did that. And I've been in with a lot of intimidating people in sports. Bill Parcells used to scare me to pieces when I was a kid, young reporter out of college. I mean, he would rip reporters all the time. And of course, I was always having to ask a question, and I always had my heart racing because I just didn't want to be ripped in front of the people that I was trying to be a part of. But when he was breaking down that these guys were going to be stars, and that Kurt Warner was the poster boy for the XFL because Kurt Warner made it as a Super Bowl champion. He was a bag boy, and with hard work and dedication, he made it, and he made it into the league, and he became a star. And he was a Super Bowl champion. And that's the kind of athletes he wanted in the XFL. And a girl I worked with, she raised her hand and asked him this question. She said, "Mr. McMahon, but the reason Kurt Warner is famous is because the Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event in the country, not because of his hard work, because winning the Super Bowl gives you a level of fame. What can you offer the athletes of your league outside of the XFL?" And he was really perplexed by that because she made a very good point. Kurt Warner is a world famous athlete because he won a Super Bowl, because a Super Bowl is a world famous event. The XFL was not a world famous league, so Tommy Maddox, who wins the MVP, is not going to have the same level of notoriety because the league isn't that high yet. Winning a championship in that league doesn't carry that kind of status. But you could see his wheels spinning about what he could possibly do of things he could control. Could he take the MVP of the XFL and put him in the wrestling situation where he's bringing him out to events, he's bringing him out to WrestleMania, he's honoring him at these kind of events? Could he take the person and make them famous in his world? And you could see the wheels working. Unfortunately, the league only lasted like a year or two, or I think it's only 2 years before it finally folded because it was never the television show that he thought it was. But boy, I tell you, he owned the room that day, and it was something I've never experienced before. I've never seen a guy dominate like that. He was big too, huge arms, big guy with muscular figure. And when he spoke, he commanded attention. And Dan, he puts on a good show. Travis again says $80K per game for NFL. Entry is a breeze. Zero security or line organization. Huge cluster at both entrances today. I saw this at the SEC tournament in Nashville a couple of weeks ago, where Kentucky fans couldn't get in on time to the game because security, they were just methodically one at a time, and they just didn't have enough people. They didn't have enough entrances to the arena to get in the swarms. And we're only talking, Travis, at the SEC championship, a crowd of like 17,000. So I can't imagine 100,000+ trying to get through security in Dallas for WrestleMania. But thank you for the pictures, Travis. They're phenomenal. The amount of love for WrestleMania at the Cowboy Stadium. Oh, these crowds are great. 800-777-2907. Coming up, what in the world went wrong in Canada? I'll tell you what we're talking about next. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Yeah, we're playing the Canadian National Anthem. Not in some sort of celebration of the country of Canada. but to lend our sympathy to the country of Canada. Because for the first time in 46 years, there will be no Canadian team in this year's NHL playoffs. None. Not one. Not Ottawa. Not Toronto. Not Winnipeg. Not Vancouver. Not Edmonton. Not the Montreal Canadiens. Nobody from Canada is participating in this year's playoffs. First time in 46 years, and for some of you, that means this is the first time it's happened in your life. I just want to reach out to the country of Canada. This has to be devastating. Absolutely devastating. All right. What are they going to do up there in Canada? Are they going to even watch the NHL playoffs?
I have no idea. I mean, they love their hockey, so I'm sure they'll watch, but they're going to watch probably drinking all their Molson and Labatt's Blue. And
the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup was the Montreal Canadiens in 1993. They beat Wayne Gretzky and the LA Kings.
Yep.
That's it. 1993. Bill Clinton was just in office. And since then, the good old USA has dominated the Stanley Cup. Not only that, start thinking about places the Stanley Cup's been since 1993.
I know.
Not in Canada.
Drives them insane.
It must drive them insane that the Stanley Cup has been in places. And feel free to jump in and correct me if I'm missing one of these sunny cities in good old United States where the Stanley Cup has resided. Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, NASCAR country, Tampa Bay, L.A. twice, L.A. Kings, Anaheim Ducks, I think won a Stanley Cup, if I'm not mistaken. Dallas Stars have won a Stanley Cup. Any other warm places? Oh, the Florida Panthers? Did the Florida Panthers win it?
I believe they did.
Maybe they did. I don't know. I know they've won it twice in Colorado as soon as Quebec left town.
Let's see.
Colorado's hoisted it up twice.
Dallas has won.
Dallas? It must drive them nuts.
Tampa Bay, Carolina, Anaheim. Los Angeles Kings.
Kings won it twice.
Twice. Yep. So these are since 99.
Yeah, right.
Since 99, those are the teams that would be more southern that you would
now,
see in Colorado as well.
I want to say that Tampa Bay was a team that came into the league in like 91. So again, an expansion team. That's relatively young compared to the overall history of the NHL has won it. A team that moved from Minnesota to the great state of Texas has won it. A team that moved from Hartford, Connecticut to Raleigh, North Carolina has won it. An expansion team based on a Disney movie won it. A team that stole your Wayne Gretzky won it twice. And a team that stole your Quebec Nordiques won it twice. Must drive them nuts. Absolutely nuts. Can you imagine if Major League Baseball had like five teams in Canada and they were all in the playoffs? Six teams in Canada, they were all in the playoffs and not one American team was in?
Right.
How they'd feel? We'd go crazy.
Now, there was a stretch from 1984 to 1990 where they basically won everyone.
Yes, they won four straight with the Edmonton Oilers, and then they won a couple of other ones with Edmonton, right?
Yes.
They won
Calgary,
like they had
one in there.
Calgary won.
Montreal.
They had all these crazy beards, if I remember.
Yes.
The 1988 Calgary Flames won the Stanley Cup. And I remember coming back from college and Edmonton had beaten the Boston Bruins again. And there was an infamous game, I believe, in that series or the 87 series or one of the series where the lights went out at the Garden. The Boston Bruins were playing Edmonton and the lights went out as they were playing hockey. Back when the Garden was kind of a, still kind of a dump. You could like take screws out of walls and smelled like urine. But still, the lights went out. Let me try to remember. Was there any other Canadian teams? It was just Edmonton and Montreal, right? And Calgary.
Yes, those were the teams.
Well, here, you know what's funny is that Quebec. Okay, Quebec. My favorite story in the NHL, and again, I'm not a hockey guy at all, but one of my favorite stories involved a young, superstar named Eric Lindros, who was drafted by Quebec. And Quebec, he said to them, "I'm not going to play for you." And Quebec, "No, you will play for us. Don't you worry. You'll play for us." He goes, "No, I'm not going to play for you." And he ended up not playing for them. And he got traded to Philadelphia. And in return, Quebec got all these picks and they turned him into a really good franchise. They turned a really good hockey team. And then as Quebec was starting to get good, they left town and went to Denver and immediately won the Stanley Cup. This is what's great. Normally, when you get an expansion team, you don't get an expansion team that's loaded to win the championship.
Right.
The whole premise of getting an expansion team or a relocated team is that something's wrong with the organization. And they have to pick up and move to another location, right? Like, either the attendance is terrible or they're just having some problems. They're not wired to win a title. And people in Quebec had lived and died with the Nordiques for generations. And they go to Denver. And here are the people in Colorado going, "Yeah, we got an NHL team. Yeah." And they win the Stanley Cup. And it's like, wow, that was easy. Apparently, it's not as hard as we thought. Yeah, it's really hard to win the Stanley Cup. You're not supposed to do it immediately.